who is Casey, who works on a project or has worked on a project called Postmarks. I contributed a little bit to Postmarks, and it's exciting to have you in Europe for the first time as well, I understand. So just have you mic up. Right, if you're coming in, then please do join us and come in and find a seat and make quiet for our speaker. Thank you very much. Did you unmute the...
No.
It's just a slider on the top. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I should have told you.
No, everything's fine. Okay.
There we go.
Great. All right. Hello, everybody. My name is Casey Kolderup. I'm really happy to be here today. It's my actually first time in Europe, so this has been a really exciting trip for me. it's also just great to see so many cool projects here, and so many questions that I'm going to ask in this presentation have been answered by many of you who have talked today, so thank you for giving me so many new ideas already. I'm here to talk about non-microblogging software designed on ActivityPub, and I'll talk about the inherent trade-offs of interoperability. But first, I'll talk a little about myself. I'm Casey, like I said. I live in Portland, Oregon in the United States. I'm the developer of a small Fediverse app called Postmarks that you might have heard of, but for the purpose of this talk, I need to go back a little bit further in my time on the internet. I was introduced to the open web as an adolescent in the early 90s. GTE was my first ISP. I watched the birth of blogging and the explosion of opportunity that was Web 2.0 as a teenager. I learned how to code so I could make my own websites. And in the 2000s, I went to Purdue University to get a bachelor's degree in computer science. I treated it as a trade school, even though it was a university. I really wanted to get out there and just learn what I needed to know to build the web, because that was what I wanted to do. Now in the 2020s, I'm an engineer who works on Glitch. It's a website that aims to make it possible for everyone to build the web. It's a platform where people who want to can learn how to make websites and other apps that live on the open web, whether that means going in and changing a few lines of text on a web page and some colors in a CSS file, or building your own WebSocket-based WebXR multiplayer game from scratch. Whatever you make, we'll provide hosting for it and a community where you can share what you've built. In my free time, among other hobbies, I've worked with APIs like Twitter, Discord, and Mastodon to build generative bots that make art or jokes. I've built CMSs to host blog posts and creative writing that I've done. My first ever PHP app built in 2001 was a link blog, because I was obsessed with those. Cocky.org and MemePool were some of my first favorite websites. As a user, I spent countless hours in IRC, not technically the web, but, you know, it's related, Slack and Discord channels, on PHBBB forums, on microblogging networks like Twitter and Mastodon, on unique platforms like Google Reader and Cohost, RIP to Eggbug, many sites that I hear myself and others use to explain how we spent time on the web. But one thing I think that goes too often unsaid is how much time I and my friends have spent exploring the fullness of what happens off of those platforms, following hyperlinks in a web browser, and seeing the full potential of the technologies that give us this world online. So it's been good for me to remember the thing I love most about the web is the breadth of experiences it enables. This is Archive Stumbler, a project I built last year, which lets you browse archive.org collections randomly, which archive.org actually doesn't support. There's no random feature on it, which is just a really fun way to kind of get a little serendipity and see what else is out on the various collections that are available there. I've certainly read my fair share of blogs, dating back to meeting someone and reading their entire live journal in chronological order, but the web makes it possible to host multimedia, interactive games, and weird explorable websites that unfold in unexpected ways as you search their corners for secrets. That variety, when it's present, makes being online feel to me vital, diverse, exciting, and engaging. We're able to find not just a variety of content, but a variety of experiences. What I'm here to talk about today is the result of reflecting on that breadth of design and experience the web can provide in the face of what I've realized I've spent so much of my free time recently doing, and with the project that brought me here, how I've missed out on taking part. Near the end of 2023, I released the first versions of a platform I called Postmarks. Postmarks is a social bookmarking platform that lives on the open web. You probably know what a bookmark is, but just for the sake of completeness, what we're talking about is a URL, has some metadata associated with it, lets you attach excerpts from that site or describe the contents, and then usually categorize it in relation to other bookmarks that you have. By default, bookmarks you create are visible to anyone looking at your Postmark site on the web, but those bookmarks are also broadcast to other interested servers via the ActivityPub protocol, which makes Postmarks not just a social bookmarking app, but a Fediverse-enabled bookmarking app. Social bookmarking is hardly a new idea. I built it intentionally with many similarities to the first social bookmarking app on the web, Delicious. Yeah, it deserves it. Delicious was a tool that grew out of a group link blogging site I was, as I said, obsessed with called MemePool. It helped its founder, Joshua Schachter, organize URLs that he wanted to store and categorize. Delicious may not have been a platform that became a household name, especially with that weird domain name, but as an example of its influence, the way that we use the word tag to refer to keyword metadata, that actually comes from Delicious, which I think a lot of people don't realize. I was a Delicious user. It was really cool as someone who was in college at the time and was using more than one computer for the first time, which like now we don't even think about, but back then it was like so exciting. I'd go to the computer lab and have my bookmarks there, go back to my dorm and have them at home. Knowing other people on the site and browsing their tags and browsing their bookmarks gave it kind of a social component, but for me it was first and foremost a kind of a form of external memory. I was syncing things to the cloud before we even talked about things that way. Delicious had a sort of tortured history as it got acquired and resold multiple times to different parent companies. In 2009, another developer looked at that and kind of had the classic, I could make that thought, and did, and the result was called Pinboard. A very similar website, but one that came with slow growth business ideals that seemed to promise it would stay available as a sustainable business for a long time, and it's still available online today. I moved to Pinboard shortly after its launch, and I used it happily for years. When it comes to the Fediverse, I've used Mastodon both publicly and privately since 2017 in a lot of different forms. I first tried developing, though, with the ActivityPub protocol in 2022, thanks to Darius Kazemi's ActivityPub server tutorial, and the great information available at activitypub.rocks, which is a great site if you haven't seen it. I ended up making a demo of what would eventually become Postmarks just before Christmas 2022, kept hacking on it in my free time throughout the months that followed, and eventually shared news that I was releasing an initial version just recently in September 2023, which I guess is over a year ago now. The response was bigger than I was expecting, and in the months that followed, I took in a number of great contributions from friends and new acquaintances that fixed ActivityPub-related bugs, added full-text search, all kinds of other cool stuff. I think a few of you are in the room right now. Thank you very much. And Andy, I know, has helped with a lot of the sort of governance and code of conduct stuff, which I really appreciate. Unlike many software projects that I've worked on, my goals for Postmarks are actually really concrete. I know what I want its end state to look like. I want to get to that point and kind of end it, and then make it available to fork and give it a new life from there. In 2025, I'm hoping to finish off what I see as that original vision for the project so that we can decide what to do next. When I sat down to start Postmarks, I gave myself three core ideas that I decided right away were the most important things to the project, things that would define what it kept it useful to the kind of user I had in mind, what would keep me moving forward and developing it, and what would get people, including me, excited about using it over any other bookmarking platform. After going over the list, I'll explain each one of them in more detail and the impacts that one in particular had on the project as a whole. The first is actually single user instances. Unlike most ActivityPub apps, Postmarks is a platform where a given instance or server is home to one actor or user. That is to say, if you want to use Postmarks, you either need to set it up for yourself or find someone who will set it up just for you. The setup process is actually pretty simple, though, and using the Glitch platform, there are literally four required steps. You take two random values and generate them, you put them into a .env file, you put a username into a JSON file, and then you rename a file to signal to the server that everything's ready to go and you're ready to launch the server. With Glitch, you can remix the base project. It's available at postmarks.glitch.me, and you can do all that in your web browser using the Glitch IDE in less than 5 minutes. We'll also talk about how I decided while working on Postmarks that despite the fact that for career reasons I've learned how to make single-page web applications with fancy JavaScript features and all kinds of slick auto-updating things, I was going to use what I consider old techniques for Postmarks. This was less of a principal decision than it was a practical one, but either way, I'm still convinced it was the right choice. The third principle is interoperability with the Fediverse. It occurred to me that since I was using ActivityPub, I should probably do that. It would be possible, if you know anything about ActivityPub design, to build something on ActivityPub in a way that Macedon would never even see it. You could follow an actor from it. There's actors available, but then the activity the actor is performing would never be available to Macedon via the notes that it kind of knows how to understand. Interop, though, seemed to have a number of advantages. In a way, it ended up being the thing that kept development working the fastest for me, but it's also led to some of the most difficult challenges I've faced in designing Postmarks. But first, let's go back to single user instances. If you have any opinions about Macedon, some of them are probably related to its decentralized model and the concept of instances. On Macedon and software that works ActivityPub, instances are most easily represented by the domain name that makes up the second half of your username, but the actual impact goes further than that, which a lot of people don't understand when they're first signing up. An instance is a collection of users who store their data on the same server, who abide some set of rules, and who are subject to administration by the instance's leadership, and who in most cases are seen as belonging to a group of some kind, whether it's a clearly stated identity group, a shared interest, or just even sort of a reputation or attitude about how they behave on the Fediverse. Instances are home to communities. Like most communities, instances experience growth and decay. They go through good times and bad. They're also subject to political action from other instances and communities they're in contact with. Sometimes this leads to situations where instances shut down or get isolated from parts of the Fediverse. The way most ActivityPub apps work right now, these events can have real impacts on individual people who might never have seen it coming. On Macedon today, moving your network is accomplishable, but moving your content is not. Some of this is due to difficulties that are specific to Macedon, but some of it's due to ActivityPub itself. This isn't for lack of care. There are efforts to fix this problem. I look forward to how that's going to evolve over time, but it's still definitely something that's being worked on. Web-based bookmarking, while having a social component dating back all the way to Delicious, has first and foremost, as I said, been an activity I do for myself. In my private bookmarking account that I use as an authoritative source, I have about 20,000 bookmarks that I've accumulated and migrated over 20 years as I've moved from platform to platform. I use my recent bookmarks every day to track things I want to read across devices, if I'm on my desktop and I want to read on my phone later. And I search my full archive, not just daily, but pretty close. If I want to have a place to put bookmarks, I need to know that's not going anywhere. And I suspect most people who would install their own self-hosted bookmarking software probably feel the same way. While Macedon and many other popular ActivityPub platforms are very reasonably designed to be large, heavyweight, or medium-weight platforms with live databases and search indexes and things that help them scale to hundreds and thousands of users, there have been some projects like GoToSocial that focus on a minimal footprint for a small number of users. With Postmarks, I took that as inspiration, and I took it a step further. One instance has one user. So while this decision doesn't have its own complications and political kind of ideals that have to be managed around the Fediverse as a whole, it has done its job for me in keeping the project simple, manageable, and adding a constraint that says that the software I'm designing has to balance the utility it provides to its own user with the complication of its install and hosting process, instead of amortizing that across a large community. Moving on, we can go to the old web architecture that I referred to earlier. I don't expect this principle to be too controversial in an event like FOSDEM, although elsewhere in the world I sometimes get more pushback on this. But when I decided to start this project, I made this app a web server. It generates HTML on the server side. I know, this is crazy. Delivers that to the browser, accepts some HTTP requests via HTML forms, and uses minimal JavaScript on the front end to improve the user experience just a little bit. The app has predictable, readable URLs that a motivated user could build themselves when typing in the browser, which is something that I still do every day, or when trying to make scripts or tools that would link to query their bookmarks. I use SQLite databases persisted to disk to store everything, so there's no extra services you have to set up or pay a SaaS provider for. And yes, I promise I'm old enough to see a certain irony in referring to a Node.js app as part of the old web, but that's how time goes. All of this was in part related to my own tendencies and philosophies of software architecture, but it was mostly to force myself to stay moving forward on the actual functionality of the project. I'm not a UX expert, and while I know some modern front-end techniques that make use of these heavy client-side JavaScript things, I knew I risked getting bogged down in learning new patterns and adding new dependencies. Sticking with things I already knew how to do and minimizing the dependencies of the software made sure I had the most time to learn about ActivityPub and keep the project